When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Okay, I'm recording now.
Me too.
You ready? Okay. I got a boat that's made of gravy. I got a boat that's full of gravy. I got a big old gravy boat. I'll get in it and ride about.
Buaya. 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 Yeah.
This is the first time we've tried to do that bit that was already a monumental challenge for me overly long distance, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. But we are equidistant from each other because egalitarianism is very important to us.
Thank you.
Isn't that interesting? How every two points are always equidistant from each other.
Alistair, you know what you've got there? That's either the most interesting thing that anybody's ever said or the stupidest comment that's ever been made.
Well, and you know what? I thought of it before the pod.
Are you serious?
This can't even be blamed. This can't even be blamed on, I just need something to say.
Yeah, but it...
I went, no, that sounds too dumb to say. I went, no.
Yeah.
You underestimate me, brain.
Look, it's one of those things that sounds so dumb, but then if you search for it on the internet, you'll find that Bertrand Russell wrote like an 800-page book on that shit or something.
Yeah.
You know?
But then there'll also be like a physicist who will say, well, actually, you know, if you, under these conditions, one point can actually be much closer to the other one.
You know how that might be possible? If you had some kind one-way wormhole, like a mono-directional little...
It's a one-way space valve.
One-way space valve. But a maths version of that, or like, you know, yeah, and then you could have a sort of a shortcut in one direction, but geez, I mean, yeah, it relies on space being curved and all sorts of complicated stuff, which is why what you said is so clever or so
and
dumb,
meaningful,
so dumb. Can we get a sketch out of that? Do you think?
Very interesting question
that
I'm delaying whilst I remember that I need paper and pen.
No. Okay. Well. Allow me to put this out there that there is a duality to certain types of comments, right? That, you know, much like the wave particle duality of matter or of light, that, you know, that is the smart dumb duality of comments, where, you know, there are some sorts of things where it is impossible to tell whether or not they're smart or dumb until it's experimentally tested or until it has some kind of effect on reality. And
sure,
we could be able...
Are you suggesting some kind of government department or...
You know me, I love a government department. I love a board meeting. I love a Nobel Prize ceremony. And there could be something along those lines. There could be some kind of situation where you don't know whether or not something is smart or dumb up until the moment when it is awarded a Nobel Prize.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it could be a whole department of a university, maybe, that's the Department of Smart Dumbness, and they study different statements.
Mm.
Not smart dumbness sounds too...
too definitive, right?
Yeah, but you know, but of statement intelligence duality, you know, that's maybe what the department is.
Yeah, I think that's something. I think that's definitely worth a little cheeky write down on your freshly sourced piece of paper and newly discovered pen.
Great.
God, it's interesting times we're living in, isn't it, Alistair? I realised today that this thing of like you can't have more than two people outside for a non-essential thing is basically it's a ban on protest, right? Like
that's what they're doing
for the next six months.
They don't want us to.
They've basically shut down our right to protest, and I wonder, you know, if certain businesses and things are still ongoing during that time, they're going to be able to get away with shit, I imagine. Right? Like, how can you go and protest a logging of some precious thing or something if you can't go outside?
That's true. But then, let's see if any more bad stuff happens.
Yeah, you know? You're right.
Maybe this will be a great time for... Turns out protest was only making it worse.
Mm. You know, it is a bit like that, isn't it? Like, you know, when you tell your kids what to do, the more you let it turn into a thing, the worse their behavior becomes. And maybe the you know, the evil corporations and the corrupt departments and that sort of thing and ministers were only doing that because they were acting up, you know, trying to get a rise out of us. And if we just do that, you know, we let them walk all over us.
To have something to rebel against.
Yeah, they're rebelling.
It's like an exotic animal training, Andy.
Mm.
Any reaction is going to cause another kind of reaction.
Mm. Yeah, I know that. So that fact too from exotic animal training. That's where that well-known fact comes from.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're trying to train an exotic animal, say a gorilla,
and does this does this only apply to exotic animals?
This is definitely helps the most because they're, you know, they're less familiar with humans.
Mm, I guess okay. So exotic basically means non-domesticated, does it?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So. I mean,
does that apply to exotic?
Which, of course, domesticated for you, we've addressed this before. You've got sort of no idea what domesticated means. So for you, domesticated means, I don't know, nothing or everything. I can't remember.
Mm. I'm interested in how this feeds into exotic dancing and whether or not... Does that essentially mean that, like, if you go to see an exotic dancer, that's an exotic dancer where it's exciting, but the reason is it's exciting is because they're so dangerous and they could just rip your face off.
That's right.
Because I feel
but
we need that element to make it okay. You know, there's this feeling of exploitation associated with that kind of thing. I'm not sure I'm not passing judgment here, but there's the feeling that there might be some exploitation involved. But
I think maybe there's a way in which exotic dancing can be, you know, I think what we're finding here through this theory is that there's a way in which exotic dancing could become more interesting.
Mm. Yes.
By allowing the people to be more dangerous, by, you know, say
that's the trade-off.
To a strip club.
Mm.
Yeah, if you went to a strip club where all the people who are dancing have rabies.
Mm. Yes.
You see? So now, because I mean, it's like with food, right? You want to get the balance of things right. You want to get some acidity. You want to get some saltiness. You want to get some sweetness. All that kind of stuff. And same thing with dancing.
Mm.
You want there to be some sexiness, but you also want there to be some like tension from fearing for your life.
Yes,
that
you don't know what's going to be stripped. Is it clothes or is it your skin? Yeah. By
exactly
a wildly flailing. Exotic dancer. Yes.
I'm just writing down exotic dancing improved by rabies.
They're not just dancing around a pole, they're dancing around our very concept of acceptability and something.
That's right.
Do you consider it acceptable to pull somebody's face off? I don't know.
Well, that's right. Mm. But I guess anything that you can go behind closed doors and see something that you don't see around open doors, that's kind of, I guess that is exciting in a way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's often why people go behind closed doors, to see things that aren't available in the room they're already in.
Mm. Yep. That's one of the few reasons to sort of open a door, I think.
Yeah.
And to see things that
you're not already seeing.
Mm. You know, very often things, you know, secret things happen behind closed doors, but I would say even more often, even more secret things happen behind open doors. Like, you know, when you open a door and there's that little gap behind it, and that's where the sort of the assassin might be hiding because he heard you coming down the hall and ducked behind the door when you open it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. So they're behind an open door, as in like, oh, in the gap between the wall and the door.
When it swings around like that. Because we talk...
I've been using that hiding spot a lot more since I've got a kid now again.
Yeah? It's come back into play? That's a really valuable little space. I have a lot of...
Yeah, I kind of... You've got a lot of hiding spots in the house?
No, I was going to say I have a lot of business meetings back there. Because it's even secretive than behind.
And now, further to your point about them, you know, hiding behind open doors, in a way, does it become sort of another closed door?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think why it's so powerful is because it looks like an open door. And you look through the open door and you think, well, there's nothing to hide in here. But actually, there is a small area where things can be even more hidden. Because they are given that veneer of visibility, the illusion of transparency. So I think what you really need is every door should have a second, smaller door inside it so that you can open the door and that door is open. And then you can open the little door in that door and just check that nobody's hiding behind the open door.
Sure. Mm. Sort of like a doggy door, but it's really... Yeah, and then, but when you open that door, does it open towards the open door, or does it open towards the outside?
Well, you know me, Alistair. I love things to be infinitely recursive, so I would.
Yeah, so it kind of opens out further towards the wall. So while it'll be a smaller door, so you'll be able to see people's feet or whatever, and so people can't hide behind that door. I think you still could have like a.
Tiny sort of little crab robot?
Yeah, a crab robot or a bat or, say, a very large moth sort of perching behind that door.
An exotic moth, and maybe. An exotic moth.
Possibly an exotic moth or a regular moth with rabies, which is what, I guess, makes it also exotic.
It does.
I guess... As long as it's not a domesticated moth.
Yeah. It doesn't have to have rabies in the sense of being infected with it. It could just be carrying it in a little cup.
A vial of it. In a briefcase.
Mm.
Filled with sort of bioterrorist things.
Yep. It's a...
So that's why you need another door on that smaller door. So that doors then kind of unfurl like a tail.
Mm. Okay.
You know, they would just
curl
around like along one of the walls. I guess it would become your feature wall.
Mm. Mm.
But then
either that,
I guess
or you
there's always
get
gonna
sliding
be...
doors. You know.
Sure, that's true. But then think of the number of insects that you could have hiding behind that
in that gap down that little
or snakes.
Slot. Yep.
I guess everything should become patio doors, sliding patio doors with the glass.
Mm. Yeah, so you can see through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really onto something.
In a glass house.
Yes, yes. I think... you know what, I think we can write down door. I think that's absolutely an idea, you know, to reveal... The final frontier
Yeah, sure.
This isn't a comic idea, but when we were talking just then,
it's more of a graphic novel.
Oh, could be. I was actually more of an idea of the name for a vineyard, because you know how vineyards have all their names have all got a certain sort of tone to them.
Yeah.
Stone's Throw. What do you think of that? Stone's Throw.
If that's not taken,
yeah,
I'm a monkey's uncle.
Yeah, monkey's uncle. That is another great one.
Yeah.
That'll be the name of our Riesling.
Does Matt Stewart refer to him being a monkey's uncle on Primates?
I don't think he does.
Prime.
That's a real missed trick, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm amazed as a guy who I have a feeling his desire to do that podcast is waning.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm amazed at how committed he is to continuing it.
Yeah, well, he's a very stubborn guy, right? Like, yeah. I think of all the people I know, he's somebody who, when he commits to something, follows through on it to an obsessive degree. Like, he's much more good at giving up drinking for fixed periods of time than you or I have ever been.
Yeah,
and then he's also much better, I think, at drinking a lot when that time finishes.
That's true. He transforms into an even funnier man.
When he's drunk.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's like that episode of Friends with Funny Bobby.
Funny Bobby?
Funny Bobby.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Turns out he just had a drinking problem.
Yeah. Earlier, I wrote down Department of Intelligence something duality, and I don't remember what the something is.
Stupidity. Dumbness. Dumbness.
Was it? I thought...
Things that can be both intelligent and dumb. What are they? Like that statement that you made at the start about things being always as far apart from each other as they are from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, do I have to explain that? Do I have to repeat the entire riff to you now, Alistair?
No, but I think I'd come up with a different name that didn't have dumbness in it because I'd purposefully removed dumbness.
Oh,
but,
I see. Yeah.
But it's okay. I've written down dumbness so that we've got it in there now.
That communicates the point as effectively as we need it to for our own purposes. Yeah. I'm just giving you a heads up now, Alistair, that... if I know you as a man who forgot to get a piece of paper to write things down on, there's a good chance that you also forgot to source the three words from a listener that we're going to use at the end of the podcast. So I'm just putting that in your head, Andy, so that when we get to that point, it's not a total shock to you. And you can start.
It's not a shock, and I've already thought about that, but thank you. Mm. But is that the three words from a listener, the three words from a Patreon subscriber?
That would be to what I am referring, Alistair. This is where they can give us $3 on Patreon. Patreon.com/thinktank, I guess? Two in tank? I don't even know. It'll be linked below. And they can give us $3 and then you can send in three words and we'll use them to come up with a sketch idea at the end. And very often, I find, it's the funniest bit of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also... We've gotten a bit loose, you know, by that point.
Mm.
By the way, thank you to all the people who have been signing up to our Patreon, especially in this difficult time of Comedy Festival being cancelled.
Yeah.
and also our whole industry dissolving away. Mm. So that is much appreciated to everybody.
Society itself helped us. Being reduced to, being exposed for the very thin veneer. Which it always obviously was.
Do you think society was just a thin veneer?
I want to do some. Put some more stuff up for the Patreon people. And I don't know how people on the Patreon would feel about me just doing sort of like a dumb newsletter, writing newsletter thing or something every month. I'll just write something, put in some little stories and some little jokes or something, and send that out.
Yeah, maybe some photos. Oh, you know, it'd be great for Patreon.
What?
Getting photos of all our moles.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, people can tell us if they've changing over time.
That is a really good idea. Yeah, okay. So yeah. It'll either be me doing a written newsletter or it'll be photos of all our moles, but that'll be coming.
Yeah.
To the Patreon. I might put up some little fairy tales or something. I wrote one the other day and I was like, don't know who to show this to, but maybe the Patreon people will be interested.
Yeah. But think about this. Think of all the fan art we could get for our moles. You know, you get a mole, maybe it looks a bit like a castle or something like that, and people,
yeah.
You know, with their creative minds. A lot of people out there are very creative, Andy.
Mm. No, you're absolutely right. They can imagine. Join up the dots and make different pictures. Like,
sure, but maybe, you know, it's like an ink blot test. Each person will bring, people will bring their own, you know, histories to your moles and tell us the story of the kingdom of the mole and the princess that lives there within.
And yeah. So this is them bringing their own personal history, is it? And do we have a lot of listeners who used to sort of live in castles in isolated kingdoms in the mountains and that sort of thing? Is that?
Andy, I don't know if you recall, but men used to be kings. You know, not all of them, obviously.
No. Statistically speaking, but pretty small fraction.
Very small fraction, but some of them were. If anything, some of them still are kings.
I've been thinking about capitalism.
And some of those people might be the listeners of our podcast.
That's true.
They would have come to us through the Weekly Planet.
Yeah. A lot of royalty listen to that podcast.
I mean, you got to think, there's probably... You know, there's a few sultans. There's a few. What's the other one?
Maharajas.
Dubai.
Maharajas.
Maharajas. What does Dubai have? Not Dubai. No. What's the other? Brunei.
Brunei. Yeah, that's the sultan. They got a sultan. Sultan of Brunei. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a few of those. A few kings. A few ayatollahs. Right.
Really?
There's bound to be one of them that listens to podcasts just to pass the time.
Yep. No, you're
and
right.
One of them, and if that's possible, one of them probably listens to the Weekly Planet.
You know what?
And if
it'd
that's
be good?
Possible,
a podcast made by monarchs. You know, because people are very interested in getting a little insight into industries that they're not necessarily a part of, and I think it would be great to if a monarch were to start a sort of a WTF style podcast. I don't know who it would be. Maybe Prince Charles, you know, and he gets other monarchs on, chats to them about their process.
By the way, RIP Prince Charles, recover in peace.
yeah. Have you tweeted that yet?
No.
No, I bet you will, though, as soon as this podcast's over, right?
Oh, man, I'm not even going to wait.
You think I'm waiting? You think I've got the restraint on that?
You think I'm waiting? Well, you think the fact that I have to continue speaking is going to stop me?
Can we write down a monarch podcast as a sketch idea? You know, and what will happen is, much like... Mark Maron on WTF, eventually he'll sort of run out of comedians to interview, and then he'll just start interviewing people who are sort of a bit...
You still there?
A bit funny, you know, or have a sort of a wry take on things. Or Barack Obama. I mean, imagine what a scoop it would be for the Queen of England to get Barack Obama on her podcast.
That'd be incredible. So then they start getting democratically elected people.
Yeah, democratically elected people, or just... People
some dictators?
Who are like alpha dogs, just people who assert themselves
like
in conversation.
Just Kevin from the warehouse who doesn't take no shit from nobody.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
Because initially it could just be like, you know, it's a monarch podcast for monarchs, by monarchs, in order to exchange tips on how to best sort of ceremonially rule your country.
Yeah, yeah. How to exert your non-existent power to maximum effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gravel. You got a favorite type of gravel? I bet I've asked this on the podcast before.
What's favorite type of gravel? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, are you like a bluestone guy, or do you like those little sort of rounded white pebbles?
I mean, is there... I just don't see rounded as gravel.
Really?
Yeah, I think the bluestone is the only gravel.
That's absolutely not true. What about those gravel roads, like in the countryside, where it's not bluestone? It's like those little sort of sand-colored rocks, wherever they come from.
Yeah, it's not gravel.
That's not gravel. Those gravel roads aren't gravel.
Well, you're the one calling them gravel roads. I never referred to them as a gravel road.
What do you call them? Dirt road.
A road.
You call it a dirt road.
Just a road, dirt road. Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually
everything
think
else is
those
either
rocks?
Dirt?
You think those rocks are actually dirt? To you?
No.
I mean,
look, it depends. Rocky road, dirt road. Pebble road.
Yeah. Not gravel, though. That's like the... No. Sounds like gravel is the only word you wouldn't use to describe those roads covered in little rocks.
I wish I could call it that.
Yeah? No, well, you're just not... You just don't have the... you're just... Constitutionally, you just don't have what it takes, I suppose.
Look, you know, I have to call things by what I think they are.
Okay.
You know me, Andy. You know me, I don't... You know, the correctness use of language is so important to me.
Yeah. You're a real grandma Nazi.
A what?
A real grandma Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would that be?
A grandma Nazi?
Would just be an old woman who's a Nazi.
Who's a Nazi, yeah. I think there probably are quite a few people alive today who have grandma Nazis, you know, grandmas who were.
I don't think there's that many left, Andy.
Actual Nazis. Well, they might be dead, but they would have had them when they were alive.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they might have their ashes on their mantelpiece or something.
Which is a pretty badass thing to have, the ashes of a burned Nazi as like a sort of a memento. The fact
totally.
That you waited until they died of old age before you burned them. Still thinking.
Yeah, which is almost, you know, you waited till they're vulnerable. At their most vulnerable.
Yes.
Dead. Talk about kick a Nazi when they're down.
Yeah.
And dead.
Kick
them with a flame.
Picking off the sick and the old, well, you know me, I circle the wildebeests, and I pick off the dead, because they're the weakest.
Here's a question regarding incinerators.
Mm.
Do you think that we're getting energy out of those, or do you think we're putting in energy?
Like, which kind of incinerators? You mean like crematorium ones when you're burning a
like
human
crematorium
body?
Ones? Yeah.
That's a really good question. I think we probably... Well, I think we're just putting in energy. I think we are, you know, you have to create the heat from something, and I don't know what they use to create that, if it's an oven or if it's gas. It's probably gas, I suspect.
Yeah, because I guess they want it to be... Do family go and watch that?
I don't know. I don't think you watch the flames licking up the sides of the the casket. But I think this is absolutely something, Alistair, right? That when they do cremate your loved one, you shouldn't just get the ashes or have the option of having those ashes compressed into a diamond ring or what the fuck ever. This is what you want. Yeah. I want them to let me use the energy. Like, I want them to have a little generator on that thing, and I want them to let me charge my phone from that.
Other things, yeah.
Yeah. I think like, not just charge my phone, I think they should charge up as many, like, 12-volt batteries as they can from that thing.
Yeah.
That I can just wheel home just on a little car trolley. Battery. And then, yeah, car batteries, yeah. And
just like a backup car battery you could have in your the boot of your car so that if ever you have car trouble, you can get your
get
the
your
energy from
out.
Your grandma. You get your granddad out to help you with your car one last time.
This is actually my favorite idea we've ever had. Because a lot of people, you know, spiritual people will talk about how the energy from somebody, what happens to the energy when they die? You know, the energy is around us. It doesn't just disappear. And you'd be like, damn straight, it doesn't. I got it running this this caravan shower. And every day I go out under a tree in the backyard and I have a shower with warmth. Generated from the cremation of my maiden aunt.
My maiden ass?
My maiden aunt. Maiden aunt? You ever heard that expression?
No.
No, that's the thing. I think it's an aunt who never married. Your maiden aunt. I don't think people use it all that often these days. I was hoping to toss in something a little anachronistic just for a bit of flavor. And I was also hoping that you wouldn't quite be able to hear what I said.
Well, that is happening. That is definitely happening. But yeah.
You know what?
I think, you know,
by doing this remotely, we're almost having sort of an experience that's half doing the podcast and half listening to the podcast. You know,
that's true. I do have earphones in.
It's like I am listening to you on the podcast. And what I think we might do this week, intentionally, because I know historically I've done this to Patreon people by mistake, forgotten to include one of the audio tracks. What I might do is I'll just release your track, right? And then people can fill in the comments from me. You know, they can chat along to the audio.
That sounds so much fun for them.
Try and fill the gaps in.
Ah, yes. Just, I mean, as someone who's probably tried to do that through just like, a creative exercise, trying to fill in the gaps and then realizing that you don't know when the other person's going to talk and then being like, oh, you keep speaking over me, recording. Anyway.
But I mean, I don't know when you're going to talk in this. How's it any different, Alistair?
I do know when you're going to stop talking a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm winding up.
Because you're winding up and we all have cues that we're giving each other. In how we, how we finish off sentences.
And I guess you know when I'm going to start talking because you are about to finish what you're saying. So it's natural that I would then say something at the end of that.
And you pick up on my cues. You can tell from my cues that I can tell that you're about to stop talking, that you know it's time to stop talking.
You have a sort of a growl that you do in the back of your throat, sort of like an angry bear, like a she bear, when you know that that lets me know I've been talking a little bit too long and you're getting sort of angry.
It's true. You know, actually, when we were editing that other thing that we did, another audio thing where it was a panel show thing, I noticed that we humans give each other cues that they're about to talk by taking breaths.
The breath.
Eh?
Yeah, the breath. Yeah. It is, you know, it's like powering up your gun or pulling back the string of your bow. People know
it's
you're getting ready.
Absolutely a version of chick, chick.
Yeah.
So... We are now down. We've got 5 sketch ideas, so I think we have to go to 3 words from a listener,
which you have right there in front of you.
as very close to in front of me.
As red as anything. As ready as anything. As red as anything? As ready as anything.
As ready and as anything. Now, I'm not 100% sure whether or not we've done this one. I'm pretty sure we haven't done this one.
Yep.
It's from Ian Whitehead.
Hello, Ian Whitehead. Hello, Ian Whitehead.
Now, Ian Whitehead has sent in three words.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess at what the first one is?
Tracheotomy?
You know what? You're too incorrect.
Okay.
He's written this. One, prison. B, break. And then he's written triple I, Andy. So it's prison, break, Andy. But he's used an interesting system to fuck with us.
So is he
but
done?
The problem is,
has he done Roman numeral?
Three
numbering for the three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And he is hoping. Prison break, Andy.
Yeah.
Well, he is quite possibly trying to break Andy with this this numbering system.
Yeah, and I guess he's considering if he is trying to do that, then that means that your mind is a prison that you're trapped in.
Oh, mate, he is not wrong. He is not bloody wrong, I tell you.
And in a way, it is, Andy. You're stuck in your mind. Mm. You're not like you know that movie with the Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I do know about it.
Well, in that, they travel along some wires and go into the internet, right? And that's a great thing about these little digital characters. But it feels like we should be able to do that with our minds.
Mm. Go along wires.
Just go along wires. Go into the internet.
Yeah. I'd love that. I mean, I guess we'd have to reduce ourselves to some kind of little algorithm, right? Like,
or a big one.
Or a big, yeah, sure, sure. But it would ultimately result in some kind of a loss of detail, right? You know, as you do when you digitize anything, you have a bit of signal loss.
But what if we find what, I mean, there's probably a sort of smallest length. There's something a bit smaller than Planck length, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If you did find the smallest length and you made that the unit of digitization, then maybe, you know, for one unit of digitization, then maybe you wouldn't lose anything.
So you think you could you could encode the human mind with,
the algorithm of the reality.
Self. I guess whatever that algorithm is, that is what the self isn't it? Because, you know, the self is how you take what you see. You know, the big question mark between the input and the output of your mind is the self. And we just need to work out what that is so that we can process inputs accurately and output them as you would have done regardless.
But I think maybe, though, you wouldn't be able to get it out of the mind. You wouldn't be able to sort of cut and paste it.
Mm.
So I think what you would have to do is create a copy, a digital copy, and then add onto it sort of basically a sensory system that works in internet and then transfers that internet back to you so that transfers that information back to you in your head so that you can travel through this algorithm, experience the same amount plus more.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we don't need to completely, like, maybe we wouldn't actually travel along the wires, right? Maybe we would just convert the information from the internet into a form that is comprehensible to our brains. And
sure, sort of like maybe just put it on a screen or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, and we
could sort of travel through it using our hands.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a kind of like an input device. Yeah, and I guess this movie would be called, instead of Ralph Breaks the Internet, sort of like Ralph Uses the Internet?
Browses the Internet. yeah, I guess so.
But I think realistically though, Alistair, realistically, okay, let's be realistic. Ralph, in Ralph Breaks the Internet, wasn't going along wires to go into the internet. Ralph, whatever Ralph is some kind of algorithm that exists somewhere. He would have remained where he was on whatever original server he was on. I mean, I haven't seen the film, but he would have remained where he was, and he would have accessed different regions of the internet, or different parts of the internet, as if he was going to those places. But really, he's not going along. The information's going back to him at his wherever
in
he
the
is.
World. In the world of this thing, Andy, he does go, and then they don't have him in the game, his original game.
He leaves from that point.
He leaves. He travels. If you go into another game and you get destroyed in that game, and the game, when it reboots, it doesn't recreate you because you're not normally a part of that game.
I see.
Then you're gone forever.
You die in the riff, you die in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't know. I mean, is the idea of somebody trying to create a digital mind, then pulling, like trying to download their own mind into the thing, into a digital format, and then realizing that you wouldn't need to do that, you would just have to make a digital copy, and then realizing that really in the end you don't even need to do that, you just need to create it into sensory things, and then basically just creating the internet that we already have.
I think that's definitely a sketch. Yes, absolutely. I think, yeah, the series of compromises involved in attempting to build a brain that can access the internet, and just winding up with using, they get to the other side and they've just recreated the existing internet experience. Maybe, things are a slightly different color or something. It's very good. And you know what? That is also feels a bit like an analogy for another idea I've had based on these three words. Tell me whether or not this is anything, right? Because a prison break can actually go both ways, right? You can break out of a prison or you can break into a prison, right? But and there are reasons you might want to do that, right? You might want to escape prison, fine. Or you might want to get to somebody who's in prison to help them escape or to extract revenge or something like that. But there is a situation as well where you just want to get to the other side of the prison. And that is where you combine both types, the breaking into the prison and then breaking out the other side of the prison. And actually the contents of the prison are of very little interest to you whatsoever. You're just trying to get from A to B,
Say you're trying to build a highway.
Trying to build a highway, the prison thoroughfare. And that involves, two types of both types of prison breaking.
Absolutely, breaking in and breaking out. And also keeping it broken.
Yeah. And I'm just not quite sure, exactly what the logic of why you chose to do it this way, rather than just going around. But
it's a more direct path.
It's direct, exactly. The shortest distance between two points, which are always the same distance away from each other as the other one is,
except for in a situation where an undiscovered situation in which they're not.
Yes, then. You might have a reason for doing that. It's a prison breakthrough rather than a prison out.
I think the people who made Prison Break, they were at a loss at that fourth season or whatever when they realized that they couldn't make any more because they hadn't thought of any new types of reasons to break in or out.
Is that what
but
happens?
The fact
like
that these guys have turned their lives around and become bureaucrats. They work in infrastructure. And that then they've realized that they're going to break in and out of this prison one more time.
Yeah, to put a highway in.
A new freeway or highway.
I think that's something, Al.
I'm going to write it down.
Thanks. And then we might have to go through the sketch ideas that we've come up with and then GTF out of here?
I guess so.
Mm. Andy. Okay.
It's quite echoey in the room you are in. Is it because you're taking an extra long shit?
I hope it doesn't sound as bad to everybody else as it does to you, Alistair. I've hung towels up sure in the bathroom here.
That's never been the case.
Yeah.
And I'm particularly critical, you know me.
Yeah, well, it'll probably be a total disaster and we won't be able to use it. Maybe in the future we'll have to choose it.
We've never stopped. We've never
stopped us before.
Allowed something being a complete disaster stopping us from releasing it.
But I think maybe in the future we might have to record it, because they're going to be building these houses next to us. And maybe this will be what I endure for the extent of this isolation, is construction noise, not being able to leave the house but having construction noise piped in at all times. But we might have to record them in the evenings or something after they've stopped work.
We'll have to record it in your van.
In my van.
In your van parked up the road near some bushland or something.
Yeah. Might have to get a van.
You don't have a van?
Fuck, I'd love a van. Oh, I guess I got the family car, the family van. You're right.
Yeah.
God.
Wonder if that's what I was...
I think of it more of as being a people carrier. My phone's about to run out of batteries, Alistair. We better finish this up.
All right. Well, our sketch ideas. We've got Department of Intelligence / Dumbness, Duality at the university, which looks at statements such as two points are always equidistant from each other.
Yes.
And studies whether or not it's a smart thing to say or a dumb thing to say. Then we got exotic dancing has been improved by rabies. You know, the part that was making exotic dancing interesting was apparently the chance of getting attacked.
Yep.
I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but that's, it is alluring.
Mm.
It is dangerous, you know.
It's a frisson.
Then we've got an open door is also a closed door. And so we've also... And which is a place where somebody can hide behind. So that's why we've created a door, and then further doors.
What about this? It's a strip club, right? But it's animals wearing the clothes, and they don't like wearing the clothes. So they take them off by ripping them off their bodies, and then they could well attack you because they're enraged. You still get to see people, living organisms removing items of clothing, the reason you went there in the first place, plus you might get killed. Anyway, something to think about.
I think I would go to something like that if it was people putting different outfits on animals.
Yep. Yep.
You just go there and then you watch them like put on a nice little pair of like sailor shorts.
It's always a sailor's suit.
Of course. Then we have a Monarch podcast.
Mm.
Four podcasts by podcasts.
Yeah.
Do you think podcasts will ever have their own podcasts?
God, I hope so.
We should make a podcast for this podcast where we talk about the podcast we were just on.
Because,
A lot of the time they get another company to like discuss. You know, let's say it's like that, you know, that one that was for that zombie TV show.
Yeah.
The Living Dead or whatever. And then people do a podcast where they talk about that. Well, why let somebody else do it when you could create your own podcast that talks about your podcast?
Yeah, we have the most insight, one would assume.
Sorry?
We have the most insight into our podcast, so we've got a lot to offer.
That's true. And then we've got other things to do with burned grandparents. Mm. Charge up a battery for your car.
My favorite idea ever. Yes!
Yeah. Downloading your mind to the internet, creating a digital brain, but then realizing that you could just access the internet via a screen.
Mm,
it'd be better.
Very good.
That kind of thing. It's that said so shortly, it doesn't sound as funny. But then we got Prison Break in and out by building a highway through it.
Bloody did it. Can you slice a bit off me with a knife? I have been Andy. You can find me on Twitter at stupidoldandy.
And you can find me at AlistairTB, and you can find us at 2 in Tank. Andy's soon going to overtake me with follower numbers. So
on Twitter.
Make sure you follow me. Hey?
On Twitter.
I think so. I think you've been growing quickly because of that 7,500
one that I stole
of yours, that then got like some second life on Reddit.
Yeah.
Second and third life.
That's true, but you probably don't follow as many people as I do, so that's the real score.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's the case, but
you can support us on Patreon.
Yeah, you can support us on Patreon.
And
in these crazy times, and
hope you're doing
thank
okay
you very much
wherever
for being,
you are.
Also, we're about to record Magma. We were and possibly put it out for sale.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that,
keep an eye out.
Sit tight. It's coming because we can't record Teleport yet because it just kind of needs to be run in front of an audience. And because the comedy festival was canceled, we can't do that. Anyway, take care of yourselves.
We
have a really good time.
We
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.